All right, we're going to start here at the bottom of Nuzayin Amud Bet by the two dots, Ira Dama Par, Ledoch Tama Seir. So this is something that we discussed earlier, that our Mishnah takes a particular position, which is not Muskam Nakol, which is that they mix the Dama the Par and the Dama the Seir together, and then they do the Matnot Ta'am Mizbeach. There's actually a Machloket, which we're going to see in one second, as to whether that is the case. Because Tanan, Keman Damar, Maravin LeKarnot. Our Mishnah is like the one who says that they mix the blood to put the matnot on the karnot, the mizbech hazav. So there is a distinction here. Everybody agrees with regards to the matnot on the mizbech hazav that the seven sprinklings that you do on the top of the mizbech, that it's mixed for. The question is the karnot, the horns of the mizbech, the corners of the mizbech, those four matnot, do you mix the dam for that, or do you not mix the dam for that? So that's where the matloket is, because the matnot on the mizbech hazav, you do a matana on each of the four kranot, and then you do seven on the top of the mizbech. So for the seven, everybody agrees it's mixed. The question is, for the four, is that also the case? Our Gemara says, the Mishnah is like the one who says that you mix them for putting them on the corners. Deitmar, Rabbi Yoshaya v'Rabbi Yonatan. V'machloket here, Rabbi Yoshaya, Rabbi Yonatan, chadamar me'arvin, v'chadamar ein me'arvin. One of them says we do mix it, the other one says we don't mix it. Tistayim. Let us conclude. The Rabbi Oshaya who damar me'arvin. The Rabbi Oshaya is the one who says that they mix it. Damar. Af agav delo k'tiv yachtav. Even without the word yachtav, k'man dichtiv yachtav. It's as if it's written together. K'man dichtiv yachtav dami. It's as if it's written that they are together. So this has to do with a machloket with regards to a pasuk that says ish asher yikalel et aviv ve'et imo. Person who curses Chas V'Shalom his parents, it's Aviv Etimo. The conjunction V'e can act as and or. So over here, there's a machlok between Rabbi Oshaya and Rabbi Yonatan, how it's functioning in this pasuk. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, In Liel Aviv, V'imo. How do I know that Aviv below Imo, Imo below Aviv? So he's viewing it as V'e as an and therefore, how do I separate them? Tamad Omar, Aviv Kilel, Imo Kilel. That the word Yikalel appears at the end of the pasuk as well. And therefore, there's a kilel for Aviv, a kilel for Imo. Divir Rabbi Oshaya. So Rabbi Oshaya's assumption is whenever you have the vav, it's a vav achibur, and it means and. So if I tell you that you need two items, or say I list two things, he's always going to assume that means and not or. So here, when I have the matnot adam v'apar on the mizbech zav, it says, v'yatzal mizbech asher lifnei Hashem, v'chiper alav, v'lakach midam apar, midam hasayir. So that vav, according to Rabbi Oshaya, is going to be an and. So that means together. Rabbi Yonatan Amar, mashma shneim kechad, umashma kol echad be'achad be'atzmo. It means and/or. That's what the vav means. Achir v'yotacha katuv yachtav. Until the pasuk specifically tells you, you got to keep them together by using a term like yachtav or some other term that says that they are a single unit. So now, according to Rabbi Oshaya, you don't need anything else to tell you that they're together. Simply the fact that you have a vav achibur says they're together unless I tell you otherwise. So over here in our case, where it says midam apar umidam hasayir, then I would assume that they're together. So that's what the Gemara wants to say. Tistayim. Conclude that Rabbi Oshaya is the one who says that the dam apar and dam hasayir get mixed together here because he doesn't need yachdav. It's as if automatically it's written yachdav, even though it's not written. Filu teima Rabbi Yonatan. The Gemara says even Rabbi Yonatan can fit here. Because shiny hocha dictiv achat. Because over here it's written achat, which is written by the mizbeach hazahav. At the end of Parshat Titzaveh, when it talks about the mizbeach haketoret, there it says, v'chiper aron al karnutav achat bashana. Gemara seems to indicate achat bashana, velo shtayim bashana. Once and not twice. Well, how do I make sure that it's only once and not twice? I have to mix them together so that I only have one set of matanot on the mizbeach hazahav. I have to pool the bloods, otherwise I'm going to have two matanot on the karnot in a given year. So the Gemara says, Tanya, delo kishinuyin. We have a braita that does not support what we just said. So we said first that Rabbi Oshaya is the author of our Mishnah. And then the Gemara says, even Rabbi Yonatan could be the author of our Mishnah, so we have no evidence or proof to who is the author. The Gemara now says we have a braita, not like we just suggested. The Gemara braita is going to basically say it is Rabbi Oshaya and not Rabbi Yonatan. Which is v'lakach midam apar midam asir shiu mu'ravim divrei Rabbi Oshaya, they should be mixed together. Rabbi Yonatan Omer mizeh bifnei atzmo u'mizeh bifnei atzmo. So here you have Rabbi Yonatan explicitly saying that each one is brought independently. Amar lo Rabbi Oshaya lo kvar ne'amar achat. What about the fact that it says achat b'shana, that the matnot of the mizbeach hazav happened once and not multiple times? Amalo Rabbi Yonatan, alok vaynermar midam apar umidam masir. Well, the pasuk says dam par and dam seir separately. This is Rabbi Yonatan the shita to, that when you have a vav there, it means or, not necessarily and. In kein lamanermar achat. So then, what's the word achat for? Lo melacha. Achat velo shtayim midam apar. Achat velo shtayim midam hasir. So similar to what you were suggesting, Fred, that achat means that when you go to do a matana, whatever matanot they are, you do it once and not twice. That means if the dam hasir needs to go there, you do it once, not twice. If dam apar has to go there, do it once, not twice. But each one independently. So achat vishana either means, like what you were suggesting, Fred, means one time a year, not just once. Or when you say just once, it means whatever is prescribed to be on that mizbech zav is done once and not twice. So that could be the dam apar and the dam seir separately. Tanya idach, you have an additional brayta that says mikach midam apar midam seir shiyu muravim ze beze. Ata omer shiyu muravim ze beze oenu elo mizbe bifnei atzmo mizbe bifnei atzmo. Tamal omer achat stama k'rabu shayo. And the stam brayta here is obviously like Rabu Shayo, who says that when it has a vav there, it means to bring them together. Tosafot asks a very strong question over here, which is very difficult in this Gemara. We said before that Rabbi Shaya's opinion is when you say ish lo yikalel, so over there we said that the vav means a vav achibur would mean and. So now, according to Rabbi Shaya, when it says midam apar umidam haseir, they're together. Why does he need the word achat? He doesn't need the word achat to do this. So in this bright over here, all of a sudden we have the word achat appear, and we're saying, oh, stam like Rabbi Shaya. So first of all, why does he need the word achat at all? Number two is, even Rabbi Yonatan, who disagrees with Rabbi Shaya, says, Isha Shei Kalel et Aviv v'et Imo, Mashma Aviv v'imo, Mashma Aviv v'lo Imo, v'imo v'lo Aviv. He thinks that all three are possible. He learns whenever you have a vav, it's and or. It could be either one. It works as either. That means Rabbi Yonatan can fit into all of these brightot over here. Why is the Gemara so sure it's Rabbi Shaya and not Rabbi Yonatan? So Tosafot gives two possibilities. One possibility is Rabbi Shaya speaking to Rabbi Yonatan, and that's why he's using the achat here, but he himself doesn't need it. The other way he describes it is that the dam outside on the Mizbech HaZav is coming after the dam of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, after the dam of the Kodesh. So if I were to look at it in context, I would definitely think that the dam apar and the dam asir should be separate, just contextually. I just had the Kodesh HaKodeshim and I had Matanot. I just had Matanot on the Parochet, and now I'm doing Matanot on Mizbech Zahav. If you were to tell me no more information, I would just assume that the pattern is the same, which is the Dam Apar and the Dam Asir separately. And because of that contextual framework that would make it that you would also, by the Mizbech Zahav, separate them, then I have to have an Achat here to help me out. Even according to Rabbi Shaya, who naturally would say, and means literally together, over here he might have thought otherwise. So therefore I need Achat. And same for Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Yonatan, who otherwise says it's and or, both of them, over here would opt for or and not and because of the fact that contextually it has them separate the entire way. So that's how Tosafot solves the problem of why do we need achat in this situation? Or why does Rabbi Yochanan not say they're together? Is because our natural tendency or our default would have been to keep them separate because of all the matanot that came until now. So since I'm taking them out of that default, I need something more to push me over that edge. Alright, now the Gemara says, Natan et amalei bereikan. In the Mishnah it says that they mix the dam together, and then afterwards they pour them back into the empty utensil. By mine Rami bar Chami Rav Chista. So Rami bar Chami posed this question to Rav Chista. Heniach mizrak betok mizrak. He puts a utensil inside of another utensil. V'kibel bo et adam. And then he does kabbalat adam. So he's holding like a double bag, but here is a double vessel, and he's taking the dam into it. Mahu, what's the din? Min b'mino chotzeitz. When you have the same item, it's chotzeitz. Oh, ain't no chotzeitz. Maybe it's not chotzeitz. The question is that when we have the kohen working here, he's got to be holding the kli sharet to do the kabbalat adam. Now he's holding a kli sharet, but that kli sharet is holding another kli sharet that is has the kabbalat adam into it. So the question is, that kli sharet that he's holding, does that separate between his hands and the kli sharet that's doing the kabbalah? Do we look at them as a single item because of the same material? They're made out of the same material. They're the same item. Or we say, no, even if it's the same material, same item, it's still chutzetz. It's still a interruption or a break between him and the kli that's doing the kabbalat adam, which is amalei. Tinitua. We learned in our Mishnah. Tznan. Et amalei bereikan. You put the full one into an empty one. So now we always read it, you pour the full one back into the empty one. He says, no. What does it mean you put the full one into the empty one? Literally, you put the full one into the empty one, and then you pick up the empty one. My lavo moshi mizrak malei letoch mizrak reikan. Isn't that what the Mishnah means? To put the full one into the empty one. Now he carries that off to do the matnot hamizbech hazav. Says, no, that's not the way to explain it. The way is, ira mizrak malei letoch mizrak reikan. You pour the full one back into the empty one. Gemara says, Hatanale Reisha. We already did that mix. Ira Dama Par, the Dok Dama Seir. So didn't you already say that you had to mix them together? Why are you pouring it back into the empty one? My answer is, Kadei La Arvan Yafe Yafe. In order to mix them well. So they keep pouring back and forth so that they really get mixed well. Tashma. Aya Omeid Agabe Kli Ogabe Regel Chaveiro Pasul. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. If he was standing on a Kli Sharet, or a Kli in the Mikdash, he has a problem. Because the feet of the Goanim have to be directly in contact with the floor of the Azara in order to do their Sherut. There can't be anything that is Mafsik between them and the floor. So by Kli, I don't have a question because that's a different item. Question comes up with Agabe Regel Chaveiro. He's standing on his friend's feet. So now, I have Min Bimino, and yet it says Pasul. The Braita here says that if you're standing on your friend's feet, you have a problem, you have an issue, because that is a Hefsek. So here we have Min Bimino, and we're calling it a Hefsek. So same thing here. It should be the answer to our question over here, which is that if you have a two Kalim, one inside the other, that would also be problematic. Mar says, no, Shiny Regel, Dolo Matzil Mevatale. Regel is different because you can't be Mevatale, you can't nullify it. Problem is that it belongs to someone else's body. And he's going to walk off with his feet. It's not like you can just say, all right, his feet are batel to the floor here. That doesn't work. When you have two kelim, you put one inside the other, you're dealing with inanimate objects, you can say, okay, one kli is batel to the other kli. Whereas when you're stepping on someone's feet, you can't say that the feet are batel to you or to the floor, because he's going to walk off with his feet afterwards. They're going somewhere. They're not staying here. Therefore, we can't bring any proof from here. Because feet are different than kelim. Ikidamre, hochi baimine. This is what the question was. Deruch sherut bekach, or ein deruch sherut bekach? Question wasn't whether it's chutzetz or not chutzetz, but whether is that considered to be sherut? Is that the proper service? Can you call that lisharetz, to serve before Hashem? We have a keli instead of another keli. It's not a question of chatzitza, it's a question of, is that proper etiquette, proper procedural way to be misharet before Hashem? So the question was posed that way, rather than a question about chatzitza. So he says, Tashma, the Tana Dvi Rabbi Shmuel, et kol kli asharet, asher yishartu bam bakodesh. So here, the Gemara Darshins, it's interesting, it says, kli hasharet. So sharet is in the singular, and clay is in the plural. So Gemara says, Shnei Kelim, Vishirut Achat. Here the pasuk seems to indicate that you have a plurality of Kelim, and you're doing a single Sherut, a single service. So here you see that that is called Sherut. When even when you have multiple Kelim together, that's still considered to be proper service or procedurally okay, and that's not an issue of Sherut. By Minei Rami Bachama Rav Chista. So now we have another question that was posed to Rav Chista by Rami Bachama. If he lined the inside of the kli sharet with palm tree bark, min shemeinu mino chutzetz, it's not the same min as the kli sharet, so that's a problem. It's not problematic because it's porous. Since it's porous, it's not necessarily mafsik between the dam going in there and the wall of the kli sharet. Kevin de mechalchel, since it's permeable, it's not chutzetz. Or maybe it makes no difference, even if it's permeable, even if it's porous, that doesn't help you because it's sitting between the dam and the kli. Samalei tanino. We have a Mishnah that already explains this. Zoleif v'cholech achi magil l'spog. So he goes ahead and he sprinkles until he reaches the sponge. So here you have an instance where he's filling up the water for the para aduma. By the para aduma, you take the ashes of the para aduma, you have to place them into a mayim chayim el keli. You have to place them into a kli that is holding live spring water. The kli that he has it in has a sponge at the base. So now he has the water that goes into the kli, but there's a sponge at the base. What the Mishnah says is that he's allowed to use the water until he comes down to the sponge itself. Which means that the fact that the water touched the sponge on the way in is not a problematic. The only thing that's problematic is the water that is absorbed into the sponge. The water in the sponge is not inside of the keli, and therefore it's problematic. So it's not mayim chayim el keli. But any water that surrounds the sponge that's there is fine, even though the sponge was there all along when you put the water into the keli. So we see here you have a porous material, something like a permeable membrane or something like that. It's not a problem because it touches the walls of the keli. So that would be the answer to our question over here. So Gemara says, Shani Mayo de cliche. Says, wait a minute, water is different than blood. Blood is more viscous. So therefore, it's not going to go through any permeable or porous membrane as easily as water does. So we're talking about water, we talk about something that is blocking it but has porous features to it, then we're not going to water because the water will get through it. But other than blood, which is much more viscous, doesn't flow as easily through these membranes or through these porous materials. So maybe that would be different. So Gemara says, don't bring me a proof from water to blood. That's one answer. Ikeda amre, hoki poshitle, bedam kasher, bekomets pasul. Some say that then the conclusion was this. By a liquid, it's fine. By a komets, it's not fine. So his answer would basically be along the lines that just like the water was okay, that by dam it's fine as well. When you're using something that's porous or permeable, that is okay because it'll touch the kli on the outside. But if you put a kometz in there, you put a full kometz, even though it has oil with it, but it has properties of being flour and things like that that are not going to go through this porous membrane, that will be problematic because it will be a chatzitza between the item and the kli itself. Tosafot over here discusses an issue that comes up really in Sukkah with regards to the lulav. We've discussed it once before again with chatzitza. If you wrap your hand in a handkerchief and then you hold the lulav, then that is problematic because you're chotzeitz between you and the lulav. On the other hand, when you put something on a lulav, for instance, if you wrap the lulav in something that is not the minha lulav, if you wrap the lulav in something and it drapes off the lulav and you pick it up that way, it's not a problem because we consider whatever's on your hand to be what's called beit yad, just be an extension. So that's what we call l'kicha yedei davar acher, nikra l'kicha. Carrying something a yedei davar acher is not a problem because it's just functioning as an extension of your hand. It's not a chatzitza. So Tosafot over here wants to understand why there's a question over here about this whole scenario in terms of picking up the mizrak with toch mizrak. Why don't we just view the mizrak that you're picking up the other mizrak with as a beit yad, as a handle to the other kli that's inside of it? It's only functioning here as a handle. It's not really functioning as a chatzitza. It's functioning as a vehicle for carrying the other kli, and it should be totally fine like we have by the dinim of lulav. Tosafot is suggesting that that should be fine based on what we know from dinei lulav, what we know from Rava's statement. Rava makes a statement there that l'kicha yedei davar acher nikra l'kicha. If you carry something through another vehicle, another utensil, that is called l'kicha. And it's not called a hefsek or a chotzitza. So how come over here that problem? So Tosafot says it depends how you hold the utensil over here, which is interesting. He says that when you put the one utensil into the other utensil, he says if you grab the utensil by its rim, then everybody agree it would be fine over here. Because then you're using the lower utensil, or the outer utensil, as a beit yad. It's really functioning as a handle for the inner one, because by picking it up, you're taking up everything. He says the question of the Gemara is when you're picking up from underneath. When you're picking up from underneath, which would be unnecessary, meaning in terms of it's not functioning like a handle anymore. Now it's functioning more like a chatzitza, something sitting between you and the utensil. That's where he has the issue. That's one answer that Tosafot gives. The difference is where you grab it from. If you grab it in such a way that it acts like a handle, then it's like a beit yad, that's fine. But if you pick it up from the base, then it's functioning like a chatzitza, because you could equally have lifted the other utensil from underneath in that manner, and it wouldn't have been a problem. So now it's just a question, is this a chatzitza or not a chatzitza? The other hand, the Ritzba suggests over here, the Shmaita gabi klisharet min she'enu mino chotzeitz b'chol inyan. Our case over here, when you have min she'enu mino, it's chotzeitz. Da'afilim timtzel omar de gabi lulav yesh chiluk, gabi klisharet b'chol inyan min she'enu mino chotzeitz. So he says there's a difference here. By lulav, even if you use a material that's not from the lulav, it's not considered a chatzitza because it's considered a beit yad, a handle. And so you can use even things that are not of the same material. Here, by kli sharet, the Gemara is certain that if you use a different material, it's a chatzitza. The only question is, when it's the same material, is it a chatzitza? So you see already there's something different about kli sharet. And the Ritzba's point is that kli sharet require v'kach ha-kohen. Kohen takes it, and it means that the basar, or the hand of the kohen, must touch the utensil. And because of that, there's a higher standard of carrying or taking or being contact by kli sharet than there is by lulav because of that demand. And so we're not simply talking about l'kicha, general taking of an object. We're talking about l'kicha kli sharet, where there has to be contact between the kohen and the object that he's carrying. That contact has a higher standard, and so therefore the question of the Gemara simply is it a chatzitza when it's min b'mino or ain't no chatzitza? We don't care about beit yad, we don't care about all these other dinim that deal with l'kicha, because here we have to a different standard, a different threshold by which you can hold it. So those are the two ways that Tosafot deals with it. One is to say that we're dealing with a different world of l'kicha by the kli sharet, and the other one is to say that over here, it depends how you hold it. How you hold it will make it into a beit yad, into a handle, versus if you carry it from underneath, where it's not necessary, the other kli, then it's not a beit yad anymore. It simply becomes a question of chatzitza. Then we move on to the next Mishnah. So now we know that he had done the matnot dam in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. He did the dam apart, then the dam ha-seir. Then he comes out from the Kodesh HaKodeshim and does matnot dam apart in front of the parochet, and the dam ha-seir in front of the parochet as well. And then, after that, he goes out to do the matnot adam on the Mizbeach HaZahav. That's where we're up to, and that's what the mission describes here. So he has to go out to the Mizbeach that is before Hashem. Mizbeach HaZahav. This is clearly the Mizbeach HaZahav. The Gemara will deal with, why do I need that? Lifnei Hashem is clearly the Mizbeach HaZahav because the Mizbeach Chitzon is further out. So the Mizbeach that's closer to Lifnei Hashem is clearly the Mizbeach HaZahav. The question of why you need Lifnei Hashem, because in other places we'll see, it's called the Mizbeach HaKetoret. Well, Mizbeach HaKetoret we know is the Mizbeach HaZahav. So is the Lifnei Hashem extraneous? In our case, it's not, because it says, Ve'etzal Mizbeach HaShem Lifnei Hashem. Here it doesn't tell you which Mizbeach, so Lifnei Hashem is telling you that. But in other places it'll tell you, Ve'etzal Mizbeach HaKetoret HaSamim HaShem Lifnei Hashem. So there it'll be extraneous. So that the Gemara will deal with here. Hitchil Mechateh V'yored. He begins to do the sprinkling of the bud. Now Mechateh V'yored means that he does it downward. Mechateh means to push downwards, or he does the processing downward. We'll discuss why that is. Meheichan hu matchil. Where does he start from? So our Mishnah says that he starts from the Mizrachit Tzvonit, the northeastern corner. Northeastern corner. If he's standing, he's on the western side of the Mizbech Zahav. That means he's going out to the eastern side, the other side of the Mizbech, and then to the north side, which is to the right, if you're facing in towards the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So that would be the front right corner that he goes to. Then he moves to Tzvonit Maravit. Then he moves to the northwestern corner. Again, that would be on the right side towards the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Then Marvit Dromit, then he would move to the southwestern corner, which would be the left side of the Mizbeach in front, right? He's going around the Mizbeach right. So the last one would be Dromot Mizrachit, which would be the southeastern corner. He's going counterclockwise around the Mizbeach, but this is what the Gemara calls Derech Yamin. You're going with your right. When you're facing the Mizbeach, you're always making a right turn. So when you're facing the Mizbeach, when you start on the northeastern corner, when you're facing the Mizbeach, to your right will be the northwestern corner. When you're facing the northwestern corner, to your right will be the southwestern corner. And then to your right will be the southeastern corner. And that's how you go around the Mizbeach. Makom shu matchil b'chatat al Mizbeach Chitzon. The place where you begin for a chatat on the Mizbeach Chitzon, misham haya gomer al Mizbeach Pnimi. That's where he ends on the Mizbeach Pnimi. On the Mizbeach Chitzon, we know that the ramp is on the southern side of the Mizbeach. So if you go up the ramp on the southern side of the Mizbeach, and you go to your right, when you get to the top of the Mizbeach, the first Karen that you're going to bump into is the southeastern corner, the southeastern Karen. So because of that, that's what the Mishnah just said, that here, by a chatat achitzona, you would start with the southeastern corner, and over here, you're ending with the southeastern corner. Rabbi Elazar Omer, b'mkomo haya omeid u'michateh. Not like what the Tanna Kamma describes. The Tanna Kamma describes over here a Kohen Gadol moving around the Mizbeach HaZahav, and doing the matana on each of the karanot as he circumscribes the Mizbeach. On the other hand, Rabbi Lezer suggests over here, he stands in place. And is standing in place, and he sprinkles all four corners from a single location. And all of them he goes from down to up, because they're far enough away from him. The other three karanot are far away, so he can go from down to up. Exception of the Karen that's right in front of him, he has to do it downward because he can't do this. It's too close to his body. So if he has to do the upward and down motion, it would end up the blood would drip down his hand and onto his clothing and ruin his clothing, meaning that it would stain his clothing, which would make them sulim. So the one closer to him, he comes from up to down to get it on the Karen without getting the blood on his clothing. The other three, he can go from down to up. Okay, so very good. What your point is with regards to the Mizbeach Chitzon. Mizbeach Chitzon is a very large Mizbeach. The base with the Yesod is 32 by 32 amot. And as you get up higher, you move in one amah for the Yesod, one amah for the Soveiv. By the time you get into the Karanot, you're dealing with 28 by 28 by the Karanot. It's a large area, and there's no way you could do the sprinkling from one end to the other. But he's not on the Mizbeach Chitzon. That's why by the Mizbeach Chitzon he has to walk around. The religious point is that by the Mizbeach Zahav, the top of the Mizbeach Zahav is only an Amah by an Amah. Mizbeach HaKetoret, it's a much smaller Mizbeach that is the Mizbeach Zahav. That's Rabbi Elazar's point. There's no necessity to circumscribe the Mizbeach because I can simply reach out and I can reach all the Karnot with my hands. It's not so difficult. Hizah al Tiharosho Mizbeach Sheve Pamim. And he sprinkles on the Tiharosho Mizbeach. Rashi says the Gemara will deal with this. Tiharo, we did this actually earlier. Tiharo means the top, the clear top of the Mizbeach. 7 times. Vishayre adam yeshufech yisod ma'aravi. The extra dam, the excess dam is poured onto the yisod of the Mizbeach Chitzon on the western side. Vishayre Mizbeach Chitzon haya shufech yisod dromi. Excess blood from the Mizbeach Chitzon he pours on the southern side. In the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach Chitzon, there is the yisod. The yisod comes around that corner a little bit. There are two holes in the Yesod at that corner. One hole that faces the western side, one hole that faces the southern side. Those are called the Yisod. Those holes are the Yisod. There, the excess blood from all korbanot was poured down into the Yisod. Which one you use has depends on where you're doing the Avodah. And the simple way to remember this is whichever is closest to you. When you're inside the Kodesh, and you're coming out of the Kodesh, the side that you're going to hit on the Mizbeach is the western side of the Mizbeach. Therefore, you pour the excess dam onto the western Yisod. When you're coming off the Mizbeach HaChitzon, the ramp to the Mizbeach HaChitzon is on this southern side. So when you descend from the Mizbeach, you come down the southern side. So which Yisod you're going to put it into is the southern Yisod. It's the easiest way to remember it, and that's what the Mishnah lays out here. Eilu ve'eilu mitarvim be'ama. They both meet in the ama, yotzim l'nachal kidron. The two bloods mean that the two holes are not separate all the way down. They're pipes that eventually meet down below the Mizbeach. There the blood mixes together and then meets up with the ama. The ama is the amat hamayim. It's the water channel that flowed through the Mikdash. It's here on Mikdash Sheni. We knew that, we learned this earlier, that the water used to come in over the Shar HaMayim. They brought the water from Ein Etam, which was higher than the Mikdash. As long as, again, the engineering side of this, as long as it was higher than the area where the water entered the Mikdash, you were fine. From an engineer, you can go up and down these mountains, you wouldn't have a problem. So they brought the water in through an aqueduct system that brought the water from the Mikdash. The Shar HaMayim comes in from the southern side of the Mikdash. The Amma flows through, that Mizbeach beats up with the Amma, and then flows out to Nachal Kidron. Today, if you go over to actually the excavations over there, they show you the channel that's coming out to Nachal Kidron, and you can see where the water was exiting the Mikdash.
And they've tested.
Right, they've tested there, and they've gotten from blood cells from the Korbanot that went out that way, which was described by the Mishnah over here. V'nipkarim the gananim lezevel. And then it was sold to the gardeners for fertilizer, because this water was not just water, it was water now that was coming out through the channel that also had blood mixed in with it. So they sold to him umu'alin behen. But there is mi'ilah. Now the truth is only mi'ilah derabanan, because midoraita, mi'ilah only applies before you do the mitzvah. Here the mitzvah is completed. Once the mitzvah is completed, everything is completely chulin and you could benefit from it. Just the chachamim didn't want people just taking the blood, saying, oh look, oh, this is from the mitzvah, we can take the blood anyway. So they made it that it was a problem with Mi'ilah, and therefore they sold it to the Gananim, they raised money for the Mikdash, and in the meantime also, they were bodek, quote-unquote, the blood in the water that they were using for fertilizer. Right now, Tanu Rabbanan, V'yatzah l'mizbeach. So that's the pasuk that describes what he has to do in terms of the matnot dam on the Mizbeach. It says, V'yatzah l'mizbeach asher lifnei Hashem, V'chiper alav, l'kach midam apar midam asir, v'natan al kornot ha-mizbeach saviv, and then v'izah alav min adam b'etzbo sheva pe'amim, t'yaro k'idasho mitumot b'nei Yisrael. So that's the matnot that go on the Mizbeach Zahav. So now it says, Tanu Rabbanan, v'yatzah l'mizbeach matam alo omar, amar rab Nechemya lefi shematzinu b'par abal kol ha-mitzvot, sh'akoyen omeid chutz l'mizbeach u'mazel ha-parochet. When it comes to, it's actually two things, the par koin Mashiach, and the par helam dober shel tzibur. On Yom HaKippurim, the matno dam, or you take from the dam apar, which is used the dam apar, to the Kodesh HaKodeshim, to the, in front of the parochet, and then on the Mizbeach HaZahav. With regards to the par helam dover shel tzibur, or the par kohen Mashiach, those are also what we call parim and nisrafim, parim that go into the Kodesh. They don't ever reach the Kodesh HaKodeshim, they only have matno dam done on the parochet, on the parochet and the Mizbeach Hazav. Done before the parochet, the paralam davar shel tzibur and parakoin Mashiach. They never go into Kodesh HaKodeshim. The Gemara is describing here is that it's actually different. The way they do it for the par helam davar shel tzibur and the par koin Mashiach is different than the way we do it on Yom HaKippurim for the par and Yom Kippur, despite the fact that they have the same requirement, which is done, that it's done lifnei ha-parochet. They both have the same requirement, yet it's done differently. And why? Because this is what the Brayta says, V'yatzah l'mizbeach. He goes out to the Mizbeach to do the matnot dam. The implications of V'yatzah means, until this now, he was in front of the Mizbeach. That means, but till now, he was standing between the Mizbeach Zahav and the Parochet. V'yatzah means, he leaves that area to go outside of the Mizbeach. That means, when he did the matnot dam, lifnei Parochet, he was standing between the Mizbeach Zahav and the Parochet. That is not true by the Par Kohen Mashiach and the Par Helam Dover Tzibor. Parakoi Mashiach, Paradom Shetzibor, he stands outside of the Mizbeach and does the matnot towards the Parochet from the outside, on the other side of the Mizbeach Zav. So now, the Gemara explains how this works, because here it says, Vayatzal Mizbeach, Matal Nomar, Erminechem, the fish, Matzinu Par Bala Mitzvot, Shekoin Omeid Chutz the Mizbeach. He does it outside of the Mizbeach, Umazal Parochet, Bashar Shu Mazel. When he sprinkles, he does it towards the Parochet from the other side of Mizbeach Zav. Yochol Av Zekain. I would think in Yom Kippur it's the same thing. Tamalomar Vayatzal Ala Mizbeach, that he's going out to the Mizbeach. Heichanaya. Where was he prior to this that he's going out? Lifni mina Mizbeach. So that I know that by Yom HaKippurim he has to be inside the Mizbeach. Meaning that the time that he does matnot dam lifnei ha-parochet is when he's standing between the Mizbech HaZahav and the Parochet. But now the Bartanya Idach, it says the same thing, but backwards. It says here, Lifnei Hashem, Ma Talmud Omar. By the Par, Kohen Mashiach, and Par Lam Davar Tzibor, it says, it's a Mizbech that is Lifnei Hashem. Amar Nebechamil Efishim Metzinu, with Par V'Sayir Shiyom HaKippurim. We know by Par Sayir V'Yom HaKippurim, Shekohenu made Lifnim in a Mizbech, it's inside of the Mizbech. Umazel HaParochet, B'Shah Shehu Mazel. That he stands there inside of the Mizbeach when he does the Hazaot, Lifnei HaParochet. Yochol HaVzakein, you would think the same thing by Parlam Dover Shel Tzibor or the Par Kohen Mashiach. Tamal Omar, this is how it says in the puzzle, Mizbeach Torah Tassamim, Lifnei Hashem. So now, the Mizbeach Torah Tassamim is the Mizbeach Hazav. There's only one Mizbeach Torah in the Mikdash, and that's the Mizbeach Hazav. So why do I need the modifier Lifnei Hashem? By Yom HaKippurim, it says, at a Mizbeach is Lifnei Hashem. Over there, Mizbech could be either Mizbech Yitzhom, Mizbech Azav. So Lifnei Hashem tells me which Mizbech. Over here, if you already tell me Mizbech Torah Tassamim, I don't need Lifnei Hashem anymore. So Asher Be'ol Moed. It says now, Mizbech Torah Tassamim Lifnei Hashem, Asher Be'ol Moed. Mizbech Lifnei Hashem. What does that tell you? That the Mizbech is B'or Hashem. What can't be between the Mizbech and Hashem? The Kohen. So that's the problem here. So why by the Kohen Mashiach and the Kohen Par Elam Davish Tibor, he has to stand outside of the Mizbech in order to ensure that the Mizbech is Lifnei Hashem. Because Lifnei Hashem is extraneous over here. If you just told me Mizbech Torah Tassamim, I would have known it's a Mizbech Zahav. So now it tells me Lifnei Hashem, that's an additional item telling me that the Mizbech is Lifnei Hashem and not the Kohen is Lifnei Hashem. Fein Kohen Lifnei Hashem, HaKeitzad, Omeid Chutz Mizbech Umazeh. Yes, to be outside of the Mizbech and be Mazeh. So again, the two Braitot start from different positions, but tell you the same din. In the end, Vayatzal Mizbech Hashem Lifnei Hashem by Yom HaKippurim tells you, the Kohen was in front of the Mizbech when he did the Matnot, Lifnei HaParochet. By Parlam Dover Shel Tzibor and the Par Kohen Mashiach, because it says both Ketoret Samim and Lifnei Hashem, that is an unnecessary modifier. That unnecessary modifier teaches you Lifnei Hashem, the Mizbech is Lifnei Hashem, not the Kohen, and therefore the Kohen is outside the Mizbech when he does the Matnot on the Parochet. Right now, next, Tanur Banan. Now we have a machloket about how he went around the Mizbech Zav. Hitchil Mechatev V'Yored. He goes ahead and he's sprinkling. Mechatev yored again means to push it down, to place it down. Meichan haya matchil, where does he start from? Mikeran mizrachit dromit. He starts from the southeastern side. Right, this is not like our Mishnah. He's starting now from the southeastern side. Then he moves to dromit maravit. Then he moves to the southwestern side. Maravit, tzvonit. Then he moves to the northwestern side. And tzvonit mizrachit. Then he moves to the north. Eastern side, he's moving clockwise around, but also starting from a different keren. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's Rabbi Akiva's position. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer. Rabbi Yossi Aglili is similar to our Mishnah, which is Mikeren Mizrachit Tzvonit. He starts from the northeastern corner, and then he moves counterclockwise to Tzvonit Maravit, northwestern side, Maravit Dromit to the southwestern side, and then Dromit Mizrachit to the southeastern side. Makom, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Matchil. Where Rabbi Yossi Aglili begins, Sham Rabbi Akiva Posek. That's where Rabbi Akiva ends. Because Rabbi Yossi Aglili begins from the northeastern corner. And that's where Rabbi Akiva ends, in the northeastern corner. Makom Rabbi Akiva Matchil, Sham Rabbi Yossi Posek. Where Rabbi Akiva begins, which is the southeastern corner, that's where Rabbi Yossi Aglili ends. Dukuli Amma Miha, Ba'u Keren de Paga Beresha Lo Avid. Everybody agrees here that the first Keren that he bumps into, he doesn't do it. My time. What's the reason? How come the Kohen Gadol at this point is found by the western side of the Mizbeach because he's done the Matnot on the Parochet? So now the first Keren that he would bump into is either the southwestern or the northwestern corner. Yet both of them agree that he starts on the eastern side, either the northeastern side or the southeastern side. Why? Amar Shmuel d'Amar Kra v'yatsa al Mizbeach. He has to go out to the Mizbeach. Ad nafik mikulei Mizbeach. He has to walk entirely outside of the Mizbeach. The only way to move entirely outside of the Mizbeach is to move to the eastern side of the Mizbeach, past the Mizbeach. And the second question you have to ask is, what's the difference between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva? Why does one of them end up on the northeastern side and one of them end up on the southeastern side? Rashi claims the machloket is based on how many parochot there were between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim. We had an opinion early on that Rabbi Yossi believed that there was only one parochet that stood between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim. If there's only one parochet, it's open on the northern side. That means when the Kohen Gadol exits the Kodesh HaKodeshim, he's coming out on the northern side. So therefore, he says, you want to go via Tzal HaMizbeach, you stay on the northern side, and you go to the northeastern corner. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva subscribes to the Rabbanan's position that there are two parochot there. There are two parochot, the inside one is open on the north, but the outer one is open on the southern side. If he's open on the southern side, you want to go by Yatzalim Izbeach, then he goes out to the southern side or the southwestern corner. This, I want you to know from years, this has bothered me. I don't have an answer to this question about Rashi's pshat over here. It's a very difficult pshat. It's a very difficult pshat for one reason, which is that the Kohen Gadol, after he exits the Kodesh HaKodeshim, has to do the matnot lifnei aparochet. When he does the matnot lifnei aparochet, he recenters himself. He's centered, but in the middle. When you do it, he does a keneged abadim. He does the sprinkling of the dam of the seer and the dam of par lifnei haparochet. He's centered with the aron on the inside. That means that it's irrelevant where he left the Kodesh HaKodeshim at this point in time, because he's already recentering himself when he goes out to the Mizbeach. So that always bothered me. I don't have a good answer as to why it matters that he exited south or north. You have to say, oh, because before he exited over there, has a Rashi. The Rabbeinu Chananel has a different interpretation about Vayatzah and Mizbeach that avoids that problem. He says, what does it mean to go outside of the Mizbeach? Vayatzah. So he says, Rabbi Kiva believes Vayatzah means you just have to get outside of the length of the Mizbeach. You're now on the inside of the Mizbeach. You want to go Vayatzah, you go to the outside of the Mizbeach. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi Aglili believes outside means you have to go outside of the hole. You have to traverse the whole length of the Mizbeach and the width of the Mizbeach. So that's how he gets out to the northeastern corner. According to the Rach, he's coming from the southern side in both instances. Why? Because you always go to your right. If you're standing centered by the Mizbeach HaZav, and you have to make a decision now which side to go, to the left or to the right, you go to the right, which would be the southern side, when you're facing the Mizbeach HaZav from the inside. When you're on the inside by the Kodesh, by the Parochet, if you're facing the Mizbeach, the right would be to go move to the southern side. So you walk out on the southern side. According to Rabbi Akiva, that's Vayatzah. You already went from the eastern side of Mizbeach to the western side. That's Vayatzah. For Yossi Aglili, that's not Vayatzah yet, because you didn't traverse the whole Mizbeach. For him, you have to go all the way across the west to the east, and then from the south all the way to the north. And now you've exited the Mizbeach. And that's how the Rabbeinu Chananel explains the machloket here between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. According to him, they both leave from the southern side. You exit to the southern side. It's just a question. How far do you go when you exit on the southern side? Rabbi Akiva says simply you go to the east and you've done enough. That's Vayatzah. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili says you go to the east, plus you have to go from south to north. Then you're Vayatzah. Now you've left the whole Mizbeach. So that'll be the difference in their opinion, according to the Rabbeinu Chananel, and avoids the problem that I raised with Rashi's explanation. So now the Gemara wants to know, Ulu Rabbi Akiva. Okay, now once we've established that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili start from a different point, at least they both should move counterclockwise, which is Derech Yamin. Everything else in the Mikdash we do Derech Yamin. Why is Rabbi Akiva going clockwise instead of counterclockwise? I understand why they have a difference in opinion where you start. But at least once you've started, move in a counterclockwise direction instead of clockwise. That's what I says, Rabbi Akiva and Akiv, Derech Yamin. So let's say they argue about this principle of Rabbi Bar Chezkel, Yam Shasa Shlomo. The Yamshel Shlomo is the big mitzvah that Shlomo made. We've discussed this in numerous occasions, the beginning of Erevin, to discuss how much water was kept inside of it, what's the volumetric measurements between water contained inside and the shape of the Yamshel Shlomo, and it sat on a base. The base was 12 oxen that were holding it up, 12 golden oxen, three facing each side. And now, when the pasuk describes it, it says, Omeid al shnei masar bakar, it's on top of 12 oxen, shlosha ponim tzfona. It's going to describe to you where the direction are. Three of them are facing north. Shlosha ponim yamo. Three of them are facing west. Shlosha ponim negba. Three are facing south. Ushlosha ponim mizracha. And three that are east. Basically, they're going around the Yam Shel Shlomo counterclockwise. Vayam alehem milamalo. The yam sits on top of them. V'chol acharyan beita. And their backside, their rear of the animal, are internal. Oxen are facing outward. So you have three oxen facing out in each direction holding up the yam. So Gemara says, "Ha'lamato." From this you learn, "Shekol pinot shata pone lo yuel derech yamin." Whenever you have to make a decision about turning, you go to the right. If you're facing the yam, you're always moving to the right. You start on the northern side. To the right is to the west. Then from the west it's to the south, and then from the south it's to the east. The mizrach here doesn't belong. I've mentioned this before. The mizrach is only when you're coming up the mizbeach. When you come up the ramp on the mizbeach on the southern side, right is to the east. This got lifted from another Gemara put in here. It's clearly that mizrach is not relevant over here because he moves from the north to the west. It's not going derech mizrach. Mar itlei derami barchesko, mar lele derami barchesko. Rabbi Yossi Aglili subscribes to Rabbi Yossi barchesko, therefore he moves counterclockwise. Rabbi Kiva doesn't, so therefore he goes clockwise instead of counterclockwise. I says, lo, tukuli ama itlehu derami barchesko. Now everybody believes you go to the right. You have a choice between right and left. Go to the right. V'hocha v'haka miflegate. This is the machlokes. Mar saver yofinen pnim michutz. Mar saver lo yofinen pnim michutz. Do we learn from outside to inside? The din here is a din in Yam Shel Shlomo. Yam Shel Shlomo is fat out in the Azara. So that din of going to the right is true when you're out in the Azara. It's not necessarily true when you're inside the Kodesh. Maybe that din doesn't apply. Mar says, okay, Rakiven Hidolo Yalif Panim Michutz.
So maybe he doesn't learn Kodesh from Chutz. Ibrai Hochin Abid, Ibrai Hochin Abid. Then why does he have an opinion that he goes clockwise instead of counterclockwise? Should be indifferent. All right, I don't learn out from the Amshel Shlomo, so I don't have to go to the right. But he could go to the right. Why does Rabbi Kiva insisting that you go clockwise and not counterclockwise? So Rabbi Kiva, Midino Behahu Karen Depaga Beresha, Bahu Avid Beresha. There should be, the din should be, that whatever he gets to first, he should do first. A din that we had before, which is Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvot. You have a choice to do a mitzvah, we don't pass by it. So when you come out of the Kodesh, the first one that you're going to bump into is the one on the western side. That's the Karen you should do. The southwestern corner is the first corner you should have done the Damim on. But we have a problem, which it says, V'yatza ala mizbeach, you have to go out. Damar Yish Lakish Imar Vina ala mitzvot. If you have a choice to do a mitzvah, we don't pass it by. V'amaylo avit, so why can't he do it on the southwestern corner? Mishum dechtiv, yatza ala mizbeach. He has to go all the way out, adanafik mikule mizbeach. He has to exit the entire mizbeach. So he accomplishes that by going to the southeastern corner. Once he's done that, Halder Atil Karen de Chayv the Meitav Bereisha. He goes back to the one that he passed by first. That's the one that should have been first. The southwestern corner should have been first. Now he goes out to the southeastern to accomplish Vayetzal Mizbeach. So then what should he do now? Should he keep going around and make that the last? No. He returns to the one that he passed by because that's the one he should have done first. It's very interesting because there is a machloket amongst the Achronim, which is, if you are Marvir ala mitzvot, are you just in violation of Marvir ala mitzvot, or should you go back and do the one that you missed? Over here from Yekiva, it sounds like that if you are Marvir ala mitzvot, here he is justified in doing so, because it says, mizbeach, you should return to the other one as quick as possible. You should try to do it as quick as possible. And that might be a proof to the position that when you are Marvir ala mitzvot, you should stop and go back to the original mitzvot that you were Marvir ala. So Yekiva says, since he passed it by, now he's doing what he's supposed to do, Yatzal mizbeach, but now you should go back to it as soon as possible. So according to Rabbi Kiva, he moves clockwise, whereas according to Rabbi Yosef Galili, he's moving counterclockwise. V'ibaitema, some say the machlok between them is, Isvirlan hakafa beregel, the kuliyama lo plige. If you were going around with your feet, everybody would agree you go counterclockwise, you go to the right. Delfinim pnim michutz, because that's the same way. When you're outside the mizbech chitzon, you walk around it. So if you're walking around the mizbech zav, you do it in the same way. The machlok is whether he actually walked around or he didn't walk around. According to Rabbi Kiva, he just stood there. So they don't learn out from Chutz. Whereas according to Rabbi Yosef Galili, he walked around. V'ibaitema, d'kuliyama kafa b'yad. Everybody agrees he stands in place. V'hachakam iflige, marsavi yofinin yad mi rego, marsavi lo yofinin. One of them says you learn out when you're doing the matnot yad. You have to do it the same way you would do the matnot rego, walking around. And one of them says no. Mar says, v'savar Rabbi Yosef Galili, kafa b'yad. How can Rabbi Yosef Galili believe that you only go around with your hand and not with your feet? In our Mishnah, the opinion of the person who says you walk, don't walk around and you do the sprinkling with your finger is Rabbi Elezer. The Tanakama, called the Tanakama, lo sfirle. Tanakama says you walk around. And Rabbi Yosef Galili's instructions here about which way to go around match with the Tanakama. Rabbi Yosef Galili is the Tanakama of our Mishnah. So you see, Rabbi Yosef Galili for sure says that you walk around and not do it with your finger. The Gemara says, Ela mechavarta kedeshanina meikara. You're right. The earlier answer is better, which means we go back to say, Marsar ha'kafa biyad, Marsar ha'kafa beregel. Rabbi Yosef Galili means you walk around, and therefore you learn it from the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Rabbi Kiva says you do it with your finger, and therefore you don't learn it from the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Now the Gemara wipes out Ibaitema here, but says this is the explanation. V'hakam iflegate. This is what they're arguing about. Marsar ha'saviv de Mizbeach Pnimi, ke'saviv de Mizbeach HaChitzon. That going around the Mizbech Primi is like going around the Mizbech Chitzon. The Mizbech Primi is all of an Amah by an Amah. A Karen on the Mizbech Chitzon is that size. It's an Amah by Amah. So therefore, the Mizbech HaZahav is equivalent to one Karen on the Mizbech Chitzon. On the Mizbech Chitzon, you walk to each Karen because each one is an Amah by an Amah. But the Mizbech HaZahav, which is an Amah by Amah, equates to the Mizbech Chitzon. If that's the case, then you don't have to walk around. I'm a Rabbi Yishmael. Shnei Kohanim Gdolim Nishtaru, Reb Migdash. Question here whether there should be a Girs of Rishon or not. Zemor Biyadiya Kafti. This one says I went around with my finger. Zemor Biyadiya Kafti. Here you have a Machloket from two Kohanim Gdolim. Seems it should be from Migdash Sheni, likely, because the Migdash Rishon we don't have are first-hand stories from them. But over here, they're saying, one of them says I went around with my hand, one of them says I went around with my feet. Zenotein Dam Devrav, Zenotein Dam Devrav. Each one explains their position. Zenotein Dam Devrav, Saviv de Mizbeach Pnimi, Kesaviv de Mizbeach Chitzon. You go around the Mizbech Pnimi like you go around the Mizbech Chitzon. But then Otein Tam Ledvarav, he explains his vision, Kulei Mizbech Pnimi, Mekom Chadakaren, the Chitzon Kai. The inner Mizbech is the same size as one Karen on the Mizbech Chitzon, therefore it's equivalent
You don't have to walk around. You can do all the sprinting from a single location. Okay, we'll stop over here.